got a Bible with you, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to look at being a good servant of Christ, and particularly in the realms of those who preach. Okay, so we'll look at that in a moment. Let's go through the scripture. Let's pray first. Lord God, we just ask for your grace upon our lives. Lord, that you would, Lord, intervene at this time. Lord God, give us wisdom and understanding beyond our abilities and beyond our years, Lord God, that we might understand the things that surround us, the times and the seasons, Lord, the things that are happening in all realms in the earth, be they scientific, be they political. Lord God, make us be aware, Lord God, in the days in which we live, that we might be wise and live in accordance with your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read to you from chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, and I'm going to take it down to verse 11. Now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But neglect profane old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that is now and that is which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in a living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Okay, so I want to look at a servant of Christ. Now, when I say that, I picked out the title for a servant because I'm so perplexed by the use of the term minister. The scripture uses the term minister, but it's interchangeable with steward, servant, and so forth. And we're all called to serve.
Amen.
And the whole thing around that, the false doctrine that is out there, that it's only somebody at the front who's called to serve, is a strange notion if you really think about it. And if you actually read scripture, it's far from the truth. We all have ministries. We all are called to minister. And thank God there's not just one who's got all the gifts. Yeah. What a big head they must have. But no, we are. There's a diversity of gifts as you read the scriptures that is given to the congregation, that is given to you. And so that you are called to be a servant, to be a steward, to minister in that realm to that which God has given you to the best of your ability, but not just your ability, by the empowering of God's Spirit. A bit more of that as we go along. Right, I'm going to go back and read through the scripture a little once again, and I'm going to pick out some things from it that I would like you to understand, because there's so much that is out there that is contrary to scripture. And as someone who preaches the word, and as Keith the same, there's a responsibility that comes on us to put things in accordance with the word. To look at things and see, well, that's not quite right. What does scripture have to say about it? And perhaps because I'm kicking on a little bit, been around the block a few times, there are things that I've struggled with over many, many years and have come to some conclusions and want to save you the trouble of going through all that I had to do to get some understanding on it. So that you can pick up and go and grow better than I. This isn't like you want to be, you know, it's people always in things, they want to be the best and they're the one that's got it all. Well, do you know what? I want you to be better than me. I want you to minister in a way better than I in whatever it is God has called you to. I want you to go on in the power of the Holy Spirit to live that full life of God. That's a tremendous thing. That's what discipleship's all about, to go beyond, to learn as much as the teacher, as it were, and then go on beyond that. Take off, because you've had those opportunities, I hope. Okay, 1 Timothy 4 then. Now the Spirit expressly says, this is clear, it's what do you say? Expressly. Absolutely say, there is no doubt that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Right, so we've got all sorts of things that are coming in to the church. He says in the latter times. Well, the latter times started then. All right, have that understanding. Don't think it's got to be all, you know, the Antichrist is here and that's the latter times. No, it started then and it's working its way out. And we are, as it were, in the end of the latter times, as it seems to me, when you look around and you look at what the world is doing, you look at all the realms that I mentioned as we prayed this morning, as we came to focus on the politics of the world. It's absolutely crazy. They're setting us up for a world war right now. Have you seen it? All, they're calling this the pre-war generation. Why would you do that? It's been the post-truth and now it's the pre-war. What are they getting us ready for? It's a concern. And we've got to look at this and see what's going on there. So we've got all going on in the realms of all the things that's out there. We've got an acceptance of lies as a norm. And at the same time, preparation for a war. You know there's going to be a war at the end of it all, don't you?
Yeah.
And it does make you wonder, and it just, I'm not saying this is a prophecy, or I'm just saying, be aware.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's telling you, these things are going to be happening, that people will depart from the faith. There are some who would have a doctrine and say, they can't do that, because once saved, always saved. But you can't depart for something you've never been to. All right, you don't go to the station and depart from midway along the tracks, do you? You depart from where you start, where you got on for the journey. They've got on for the journey. They've departed from the faith. Then they've gone on. And this is a sad thing. And this is what worries me about so much of the Western Christian world, is that they are giving way to truth. They're putting aside truth and they're giving way to heed deceiving spirits, it calls it.
Yes.
Doctrines of demons. That sounds strong, doesn't it? That a doctrine of demons. What? Where's that? Well, it's telling you where it's emanating from. Then he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy. They say one thing and do another. They'd say one thing and it doesn't concern them that it's not true. Having their own consciences seared with a hot iron. When you've done, I don't know about you, but when I've done something wrong the first time, you feel really bad, don't you? Oh, that was terrible, I shouldn't have done that. Do it the next time, oh, it's not so bad. And it soon becomes, your conscience completely doesn't worry about it. That's where you were before you got saved. You didn't worry about it. He wasn't concerned. But he's saying this is the state of the way the church is going. In the latter times, that's what it would be. Then he gives some examples of some of the stuff they're coming out with. Not to marry. You can only eat certain foods. You know, that's the thing he's actually focusing on here, about foods. And he's saying they've been given by thanksgiving. They should be accepted. But you can name a number of them. There's new ones now. You've got to have a certain Bible to read from. You've got to wear a hat. You've not got to wear a hat. You've got to have long hair, or you can't have long. You can't do this, and you can't do, and it's all these things that man has brought in that's got nothing to do with the scripture. All sorts of ideas and fables and hypocrisies and doctrine. The worst is the doctrines. All manner of nonsense continually comes into the church domain. Now, what are they? He said, false doctrines, using scripture in iniquitous ways. What do I mean by iniquitous? It's twisting. The scripture says this, and it's twisted to mean something else. Picking a verse to support their theory. Extrapolating beyond what is intended and what is a right interpretation. Going, well, they start with one thing and go miles away from it to fit what they want to teach. And just plain old lies. Then there's bandwagons. If you've been Christian for 5, 10 years, you'll have seen some of the bandwagons going through the churches. Different things at different times. Having been through it for a long time, I've seen a lot of them come and go. And the idea and practices that the church is pushing the church away from biblical norms to something else based on a human logic, a human rationale, though sometimes they're neither rational or logical. Then there's external additional teachings, like the Book of Mormon, as an easy one to pick out on. Additional scriptures that go beyond or claim further enlightenment, like the Quran. Yeah? Because there's another prophet. We don't need Jesus is somehow secondary. No, there's another prophet come along. Jesus warns us about this. Okay, further enlightenment that is not contained in the Bible. And that's what you've got to be. We're sticking to the Word. Yes. That's what we need. That's what we've got. We've been given in the wonderful pleasure, the wonderful privilege of having the Word. Let's use it. We don't need anything more. If you can get through all of this and do it, you're pretty good. You don't need any more. You know, there's plenty to be getting on with, I suggest to you this morning. You see, all of these issues that we've just mentioned, they need confronting by the leadership of the church. In the church, it's to be exposed for what they are by how? Demonstrating through scripture what is wrong. Yes. Through scripture. And where the balance lies in it all, because sometimes there's a bit of truth over here, there's a bit of truth over there. How do we bring it all together and live it? Okay. To show where the nonsense emanates from many times and what the truth is and how to live it. That's really what certainly what I focus on these days. How to live it. I'm not worried about theory. I'm not so much worried about theology, though it's necessary. What we need is how to live the Word.
Yes.
Putting the Word of God into practice, that it be part of our being. You see, this is not, as some have said to me, to show how wonderful we are. And that those around us are so poor Christians that we're bragging about how good we are because, look, we can see this stuff. Heaven forbid. It is with the understanding that we are, Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, understanding our weaknesses. Understanding that we're prone to failure. Understanding that our hearts are deceptive. Yeah. And that we need to stick to the Word of God. We know how frail we are. We know how wicked we are. And so surely those who labour in the Word have a duty to do such and expose the works of darkness, and particular those pertaining to the church. Verse 6, it tells us what a good servant of God should be doing. Just excuse me. It says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Which things? The things that he's just been talking about. exposing all the lies and all the hypocrisy, all the false context. Get the context. See where it's at. That's what he's saying. You be a good minister. Faithfully follow these things. It goes on. Let's read it again. If you have instructed the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have been careful to follow. Now, there's a good bit there. See, it's not just about blabbing. He's saying that, look, you're speaking the word, and not only are you preaching it, you're demonstrating that word by how you live. And that's true for us all, however you minister, whatever you serve in, whatever you're going to, it's got to be lived. Back to the same old story. I'm going to bore you silly with the same old story because it's so essential. The expectation is here that the teacher puts into practice that which he teaches with care and with precision. Good word. Verse 7. But reject profane or wise fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. Don't put up with nonsense. Expose it. Amen. From the word. Yeah. Exercise yourself towards godliness. Now, some of us could do a bit of bodily exercise. We'll come into that in a minute, I think. But it says it's of some good. But when we exercise ourselves in spiritual things, it's of eternal good. It'll do every aspect of our life good. It is powerful. It is useful. Exercise yourself towards godliness. Have you reached the fullness of it? I think not. But you're working towards a goal. You want to get the record, don't you? You want the gold medal for godliness, surely. Are you just a participant? Happy to stroll in last, you know. It sort of makes you laugh in the Olympics. Somebody trips up or something, and they crawl over the line, and they get great applause. Yeah, but you're last. You're still last. Good on you for trying and keeping going. And if that's the only way we're going to make it, well, good. I'm glad we make it. But nevertheless, we should be going for gold. Verse 8, I've mentioned this already, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Having promise of life that is now and that which is to come. So you've got a promise here. It's working out good for now and for the future, eternally. And he then says this phrase here. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptance. Which is? What he's just been telling you. It's a faithful saying and worthy of acceptance. Get a hold of it. This is a truth. He's making a point here over and above just writing it. He's saying, look, this is a good and faithful saying. Get a hold of it. It's for you to do that. Have an understanding here. Okay. Verse 10. For to this end, we both labour and suffer reproach. Which end? This is how you should read the Bible. Question it. Which end is he talking about? Because we trust in the living God who is the saviour of all men, especially those who believe. He's to set things in line, this is the end, set things in line with the word of God, the pillar and ground of truth. They labour, they work, they make an effort, despite being opposed in the doing and suffering for it. That's what he says. That's what he's telling. That's the end. That's why they labour. That's what they're doing. They're trying to keep people according to the word. They want them to live according to the word because they know that is the way to eternal life, that they trust in God, they have faith in God, they're following the Spirit of God, they're following the word of God, they're making every effort, they're putting that into practice. And he understands this to be the essentiality, and yet there are those who are not happy with that. Are you happy with it? Tough if you are, and tough if you're not. If you're not happy with doing the will of God, then I'm sorry for you. Why? Because we trust in God. Yes. It says, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Verse 11. These things command and teach. Which things? Come back to how you should look at it. Which things? The warnings about false doctrines, about fables and so on. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. It's God who gets the praise.
Yes.
Just because someone has been given a gifting, whatever your gifting is, it's not for us to glory.
Yeah.
It's because God has given it. Without him, you wouldn't have it. So what have you got to brag about? Nothing. Okay, so he's saying, in Peter, he's saying that God may be praised through Jesus Christ, in seeing these things being done, in however we minister. It's God who gets them. When things are adhered to, God gets the praise. It's wisdom derived from God's word and his spirit, and has nothing to do with us to brag about it. Let's be clear. Some people get the wrong end of the stick with stuff. It's about him. It's all of him. It's without his power, without his spirit, it's at best oratory or some clever phrases. Or just words from a page. Dr. Alan Redpath, I'm not sure you know who he is. I have no idea either, I just picked the quote up. He said this: are you battling with yourself, defeated in life, going down under the buffeting? Cheerful fellow. You face many battles. None of us stands above you in this. In other words, no one's better than you in this. We all got problems. That's what he's saying. Because we know it is all our own in our own hearts. But we would gladly tell you the good news that you overcome not by battle, but by faith and obedience. Two things. Many just stick with the faith. And they have this nebulous sort of concept of life that has really no boundaries, no limitations on them or whatever. They do whatever feels good. But it's faith with obedience.
Amen.
That's what makes the difference. That's what he's saying. Any battle for victory, for power or deliverance, he goes on to say, from ourselves or from sin, which is not based constantly upon the gazing and beholding of the Lord Jesus with the heart and the life lifted up to him, is doomed to failure. Remember me? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do
nothing.
You've got it. You know it. This is it. This is the same. He said that in a very long way, but he's saying exactly the same thing. You see, in all of this, the word has to be lived. I'm going to keep driving this nail. James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. It's funny that, isn't it? It doesn't fool God, absolutely, for sure. And most of the time, not always, but most, it doesn't fool other people either. Does it? Non-Christians spot hypocrisy a mile off. Don't they?
Yeah.
They see it and then they're like, Christian. Yeah? Be doers of the word. Ray Steadman, another one you all know. I've been looking things up as we go along. Truth known does not help anybody. It is truth done that changes the world, delivers the weak and confronts the brokenhearted. This is Paul's perspective and his exhortation to a young Timothy. Nourish yourself on good words of the faith. Understand the sound teaching and follow it. Do it. Set yourself to this task. Obey the truth that you have learned. Truth has to be lived, demonstrated, embodied, particularly when dealing with truth from the Word of God. It's nice to remember scripture and verses like the navigators try and get you to do. You come across it? If you haven't yet, they'll give you books on how to memorize scripture. And sometimes I wish I could remember. I can remember the scriptures. I can't remember the numbers. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes that's useful because you can give a reference to somebody, they can check out what you're saying is true. But that's not the essentiality of it. The essential part is living it. I remember witnessing on the streets in Warrington, and some Muslim guys and a couple of Muslim families came up, and we've been handing tracts out, and the usual thing, people go around. And he said to me, "Are you not concerned that somebody may tread, because there's scripture on it, somebody might tread on the word of God?" And I said to him, "I'm more concerned that people's lives do not reflect the word of God and that the word of God is rejected by the way they live." See, they keep the Quran up on the highest shelf above all books and they don't want any. But do you know what? It's the living word.
Amen.
We need the living word. Jesus is the living word.
Yes.
We are called to be like him. To put that word into practice. A living proof that he's alive. Stedman said, well, what did he say? Set yourself this task, obey the truth that you have learned. I go a bit beyond that. Obey the truth or you've not learned it at all. In closing, Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them.
Yes.
Do you see, we're coming from this point of what ministry is about, particularly for the preachers, to expose the lies and to put in the truth. Expose it, show it. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let's pray.